moment.
For 30 years, your voice, your morning. John McKenzie's morning, only on 4CA 846.
Yes, we have Pauline Hanson on the line. Oh, she's in Cairns now. Okay, we've sorted that one out. Pauline, good morning.
Good morning. I'm not in Cairns much longer. I'm flying out very soon in the next
In a few minutes. It's a shonky old line, sadly. We can't help that at the moment. But you, have you seen the Cairns Post this morning, the front page?
Yes, I have. Yes. I just saw the front page, yeah.
You're certainly not short of coverage. It's interesting, isn't it? The headline reads, "I'll be the voice for FNQ." Can you expand on that message for us?
Well, being elected as a senator for the whole of Queensland, as I've actually travelled around the state, people feel that in far north Queensland they've been ignored by the major political parties. They don't feel that they're being listened to with high unemployment. I see the closure of shops, small businesses closing down. There's a lot of issues in far north Queensland. What I'm saying is that people feel that everything goes to the southeast corner. Even speaking to councils, they reckon they don't get the federal funding. It all goes down to the state government, which is all the money is spent in southeast Queensland in the corner there. So what I'm saying is I want people to feel they're represented by all their members of parliament. And that's going to be my job, to get up here, to put across policy and to speak to not only the Prime Minister, which I've already sat down and had a talk with him, but the other ministers in the government to actually explain to them what is happening in rural and regional areas of Queensland.
The other part of this headline that is very interesting is basically your to-do list, where you say you will fight for further dredging of Trinity Inlet. Can you expand on that?
I had a meeting with the members of the board up here, or the committee, and they explained to me the reasons behind this, and I think it makes common sense. Now, they've been fighting to have that dredged, and I think it was about 4.2 tonnes to have it dredged out of there. It will allow the biggest ships to actually come in, the tourists to actually come in to the port, and it also allow for those cargo ships that at the moment can't put off here. They're going down to Townsville and then transporting it up by road. Mm. Now, I think it makes common sense to actually do the dredging. Now, they're talking about 5 years. A few years ago, it was $5 million to do the feasibility study. Now it's up to $7 million. And it will keep escalating unless something is done about it, and it'll get to a stage where you won't be able to do it. I've been offered to actually fly out because concerns are, will it have an impact on the reef? I've been offered the opportunity to go out and have a look at the reef. Now, it's not just based on what I think. I think you do need to have people who are of the calibre to inform me correctly about all this that needs to be done. But if you've already in the previously, and as they said, it was dredged 100 years ago and it hasn't destroyed the reef, then what is... I can't see the point of not dredging, because I think it will bring more tourism. I think it will boost the area. And Cairns is high on the list of a lot of tourists, not only from Australia, but also overseas. We have to be smart about increasing tourism to Australia, because a lot of people now feel, a lot of parts of the world, especially Europe, they don't want to go there because of unrest and terrorism and the fear of, their safety. And I think if we're smart enough in Australia, we can increase tourism to Australia. Our dollar is down. It's more viable for them to come here. And that's going to be my focus.
Now, the other point here too, you've accepted invitations to visit Yarrabah, the Aboriginal community, and also the city mosque. Can you talk to us about those acceptances?
When I went to the Aboriginal festival that time, a lady approached me. She said, "I'm giving you a personal invitation to come to Yarrabah. I intend to go to a lot of the Aboriginal communities. I've had dealings with them. I had Aboriginals actually and a traditional owner of the land come to my office about 2 weeks ago. They're inviting me to the council to go to the communities, which I will be doing. Now, I knew nothing about this invitation to the mosque, and the journo put it to me, and I said, "Look, I'm not aware of this." He said, "Well, that's understandable. It's come through the paper." So I have not received any formal invitation. As I said, I'm here to represent all Queenslanders, and I'm going to have an open mind about this. Yes, to sit down and have a talk with them. Yes, I do believe there are decent, law-abiding Muslims who want just a peaceful life in our country. And we need to sit down and talk and work together to ensure that all Australians feel safe in our country. So that's going to be my job as a leader of this nation, to try and find the answers to this.
Now, Pauline, over the year, or over the decades now, I suppose, you've always been very open on matters on this radio program. Let me ask you this. Before the federal election, what were you thinking might be the outcome in terms of the number of Senate seats you might end up with? What did you think might happen? And let's talk about the specifics also. Of course, yesterday it's been announced you now have a very powerful bloc in the Senate, 4 Senate seats, 1 in Western Australia. You've got 1 in New South Wales and 2 in Queensland. But what did you expect to happen before the election?
I actually thought we'd pick up about 4 or 5 Senate seats. And I knew that we had a chance in every state. Let me also add that we actually missed out Tasmania by 141 votes. We came within the last seat in Victoria and South Australia. So I knew the swing was on against the major political parties. We figured about 4 or 5 Senate seats, but I was hoping we could have picked up maybe 1 or 2 lower house seats. We did extremely well in 4 of the seats. We polled around about 19-20% in 4 of the seats. It was a fantastic effort, and the team I had was extremely good. And I think now that people realise that by voting for One Nation, it's not a wasted vote, and it's now up to us as representatives for the people that we actually prove to the people we are there to represent them, to raise the issues that have been, what can I say, is pushed to one side. And I think now I've got to prove to the people of Queensland that, you know, One Nation is a very viable party.
Now, Pauline, just call out when your final call comes up, because we can't quite pick up the what's happening in the background. Look, let me ask you this. On that performance, those 4 Senate seats across Australia and a few near misses, how would that performance translate in a Queensland state election to be held in the next, well, maximum 18 months?
I think it will translate very strongly for us. And even now, you know, like I said, if people went back to the polls now, I think that more people would vote for us now, because they now know, oh, gee, my friend voted for One Nation. It's great. You know, they're not finished. So I think that's going to have a big impact on the next Queensland state election. I think people are actually see no true leadership from Anastasia Palaszczuk. I don't think she understands or has the answers to it. And the Liberal National Party have been hell of a mess in the state. I believe that we need to reduce the number of state members of parliament, that we don't need one member in the state representing 30,000 people. When you have a federal member representing 100,000, you can reduce the numbers, give them an extra staffing to do their job. I think we're over governed with the number of members of parliament. We also need an upper house where we are the only state that doesn't have it. We need to actually go back to the farming sector, because they are destroying us. And Labor Party passes this with the Native Vegetation Act. They're going to shut down farming in Australia. We need to look at foreign ownership investment, and we need to start looking after small business and get rid of the payroll tax, which will create employment. Small business is the answer. Too much red and green tape. Address that, and then you will create employment instead of bringing in 457 visa holders. There's a lot there, John, and I think it needs to be, you can't just ignore this, and we cannot allow our country to be bought up by Chinese investors and other investors that are going straight from the paddock to the plate in their countries. We're losing so much in Australia because I think these leaders that we have are only band-aiding the issue. They're not looking at long-term vision of what, are we going to own our country anymore? They're selling off our assets, they're selling off our electricity, your services. It's so wrong.
Now, I'll let you go in just a moment. Obviously, you're in a hell of a hurry. Let me ask you this, though. This is the Courier Mail today, where it says there is room to manoeuvre with Queensland's second One Nation candidate, Malcolm Roberts, who got over the line with 77 first preference votes. It goes on to say it indicates Malcolm Roberts will be willing to vote against One Nation because his first priority is Queensland and Australia. What's he getting at?
Oh, geez. Geez, they've really twisted this, they have. When you come to voting, you either vote above the line or below the line, and if you vote below the line, you can direct your preferences where you want to direct them. So what they're saying is, all those people that voted below the line, and you only got about 5%, if that, voted below the line, so only 77 people put Malcolm Roberts number one. Now, our primary vote was everyone voted above the line, so they've twisted to make it look ridiculous, which is not the case. Malcolm Roberts has been a man who's been anti-politicians, anti the establishment, anti, you know, not having a voice. Now, he got to know me about 2 to 3 years ago. He went to my speeches. I spoke to him originally about climate change. I heard he was an expert on it, and I listened to him, what he had to say. And I agree with what he says. He said, you are the only one, and he will say this, Pauline Hanson is the only one who's actually come to listen to what I had to say, who's taken interest to understand about climate change. He's debated, he's spoken to Greg Hunt, he's spoken to university, heads of university, scientists and everyone like this, and he believes that they're on the wrong track with what they're telling us is wrong. He is such a very well-educated, knowledgeable man who will bring a lot to the Parliament. What I said to him and all my candidates, it is not about party politics. I don't want people there to put up their hand just because I tell them to put up their hand. I want true representation for the people. Yes, we will all agree we are all in tune with the policies of One Nation. But as I said, I also want them to be individuals, that they're not led by the nose. And I've said, if there's anything that you believe is strongly against, then I have your total, you know, respect to actually speak out against it, and you vote the way that you feel is right for the constituency who voted you in.
Pauline, I'm going to let
you... And just say, look, the Liberal Party did it to me, Guy, in 1996, when I spoke out about an issue, and I was told, down, shut up, you know nothing. That is not what our representatives should be doing. This is all about the individuals who are being elected by the people to represent them first and foremost, not the party politics. But I can assure people, I have such a strong, loyal team that are very loyal to me and our policies, and we are working strongly together. And not the media and not the political parties will divide us, which they are trying to do.
Good
so
to talk
we
to
will prove ourselves.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks,
Pauline.
John.
Get on that plane. Thank you. Pauline Hanson. Pauline Hanson's One Nation. With the time now, 20.